Chief. Former President Trump's preparing to celebrate a Super Tuesday sweep tonight from Florida. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi.
Tonight, Donald Trump will be holding a watch party at his home in Mar-a-Lago. The Trump campaign is expecting a full sweep of all 15 states that Republicans are competing in today.
Nikki Haley plans to watch returns from her home state of South Carolina. President Biden has won the Iowa Democratic Presidential Caucus, claiming all 40 of the state's delegates. Biden campaign spokesman Kevin Munoz is confident.
We have $130 million behind us. And on the issues, we are on the right side of abortion rights, gun violence, and tax cuts. And that's what we're going to focus on in this race.
Meantime, Biden focused on capping credit card late fees today in Washington, cutting the average fee down from $32 to $8.
This action will collectively save families $10 billion in credit card late fees every year.
Companies bank billions in those fees every year. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two lawyers who recruited a group of Wisconsin Republicans to be fake presidential electors for Donald Trump in 2020 have settled a lawsuit against them. James Troupas and Kenneth Chesbro turned over more than 1,400 pages of documents as part of the settlement. It explains how the two developed and carried out the scheme. Today is Super Tuesday. Voters in 15 states and American Samoa should put President Biden and Donald Trump closer to their party's nominations. Trump spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt on WISN-TV's Upfront.
And that's why we have already shifted gears to focus on the general election in November. So we'll be coming to Wisconsin. We'll be coming to battleground states like Pennsylvania and Michigan in the next several months.
Wisconsin is one of a handful of states expected to decide the winner in November. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRJN News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. On Saturday, a Racine father was killed when an 18-year-old driving recklessly crashed head-on into his car. The day before on Friday, that 18-year-old had gotten a ticket for speeding. Racine police put out the names of the two people that died in the collision near 12th and Memorial Saturday. The father was 46 and had five kids. His name was Meli Antonio Sanchez. The 18-year-old was Steve Ivory. Court records show he was pulled over Friday and given a ticket for going at least 20 over the speed limit. A Kenosha man has a 10-year prison term after accidentally shooting his 3-year-old sister. Christian Kolesky will also face 8 years probation. He was 18 at the time of the shooting and was looking after his little sister last May. He entered a guilty plea in January. Kolesky had been charged twice before this incident with other serious offenses. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WRJN News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now, 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Huge win at home for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the LA Clippers 113-106 at Fiserv Forum, and they did it without Giannis or Chris Middleton, both out with injuries. The Bucks were down by 13 but made changes on defense. Doc Rivers.
We went zone a lot in the second half. We switched everything. You know, maybe their timing was off because of the zone. I thought it did help. For sure. And then I thought our execution offensively was unbelievable down the stretch. We got the ball. When they trapped, we moved the ball. We kept the game simple.
College basketball, Marquette drops to number 8 in the AP Top 25 after losing to Creighton. The Badgers did not receive a single vote after being ranked number 6 just a month ago. They host Rutgers Thursday. Are they concerned?
No, because this league is hard. This is one of the better teams in the country. You know, we got enough that we have to continue to try to get better at that'll help us going forward. So right now, it's all about Rutgers and getting ready for that.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Tonight, we'll look for a mostly cloudy sky and a low to fall to the mid-30s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow and a little warmer. Our high temps jump up into the low 40s. On Thursday, partly sunny and a high in the mid-40s. Then by Thursday night, a chance of rain that carries over into Friday.
It's 39 right now.
Bucks and Packer fans, listen up. Your smiles are in for a winning treatment at Dr. Stephen W. Campbell's office at 3801 Monarch Drive in Racine. Just like your favorite teams dominate the field, Dr. Campbell excels in dental care, and your winning grin is his top priority. Whether you're cheering for the Bucks or celebrating a Packers victory, make sure your smile is game day ready. Call Dr. Stephen W. Campbell at 262-432-9529, where your winning smile is always in season.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Albo. Wednesday noon till 2, we will review Super Tuesday results with Trigby Olsen and Pat Kreitlow, plus your calls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Ah, boom! Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker in the house, producer Anya, you know, gonna make a little noise tonight, do a little talking, a little bit about things. But last night I got some comments, some feedback from Ethan's show last night.
Oh, great.
And yeah, I got a lot of Facebook comments and people just going like, that guy, wow.
Yeah, he's awesome, isn't he? I mean, he's a good reminder of like, we know this. We talk about this all the time, Tim. There's a gap, you know, and there are a lot of reasons, but you know, there are good reasons. It's an earned gap, let's say. That's being nice. That a lot of scientific information is just not accessible and digestible, and we just don't, you know, chew the fat on the day to day talking about a lot of the really important stuff that scientific consensus presents to us. And Ethan is just a gift because man, he knows so much, but he breaks it down in a way where he's not on a pedestal, like preaching down to people. You know, he's not a talking head screaming all this like nerd stuff. Of course I love that stuff, but you know, he's just on the regular. I love it. You know, I feel like he would resonate with our identity as blue collar scholars.
Absolutely. You know?
He's got an affinity for Wisconsin, so I'm sure our listeners enjoyed that. I mean, he talked about that being the first place he had a job after grad school and being an educator there. And so it was awesome to have him on, like always, man. I love that guy.
Yeah, and he, you know, as you say, a communicator, truly a communicator right there. And brings that. But with a passion, too, because it's not just boring information. You know, my son listened to the show and gave me, he goes, man, that Ethan can really, you know, deliver the information with a lot of passion, but yet very clear. So, yeah, you know, Dr. Ethan Siegel, we know you're out there listening, but hey, anybody, download the podcast from last night. Check it out if you want to hear Dr. Ethan Siegel. You know, a little bit of parents' rights, learning science. Man, got a whole new take on that. Today, Johnny, Tuesday, this is like an old stomping ground for us Tuesday nights. This is where we used to be, you know.
Familiar, so muscle memory.
I feel like, man, I've been here before. Well, it's because we always used to be on Tuesdays, but now you're on Monday. We are on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's it. Yeah. Every day of the week. Civic Media app too, Johnny. I want to make sure everybody out there, remind them, you know, if you're thinking, and especially the people in Finland, we got some Finland people out there. I'm hearing, Johnny, that are downloading
Finnish
people who have downloaded the Civic Media app. And they can and here's the coolest thing. They're in Finland. They have the Civic Media app. They can listen to Busted Pencils. Now,
and they said, Tim, you always throw a shout out to the Finns, and they said there's a caller who always references the Finland education system. And so, you know, we're working out. It's a big time difference, but we're working out having them on as a guest, and they're big fans of the show, and they're awesome, and they are doing really cool things over in Finland. And there's something really special about when we learn from one another, because we're doing things differently and we're figuring out how we can better serve children in our schools. And Finland is really, really doing some amazing things. So we're going to hear from that, just to kind of tease future guests. But we have listeners out there. It's just a huge time gap. I think it's 2 a.m. where they're listening from there when they stay up and catch it. But they, you know, they get it through the app, and it's an easy way for them to access our shows, even if they can't catch it live.
Yeah, exactly. And that's for anybody too. You know, even if you happen to just be in Milwaukee, Madison, you know, all the way up there in Bayfield in Wisconsin, if you're all the way out in, you know, Los Angeles, like LA Tom, I'm sure LA Tom's listening on the Civic Media app. Johnny, you got something there?
Well, speaking of way up north, little tidbit, if you can tune in tomorrow morning, Tim, I think we're guests on the way up north with our guy.
Yeah.
So we'll be back on the air early tomorrow morning, but
It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. So we'll be doing a little bit of talking there. Hey, the number's 844-967-2789. Tuesday night, Johnny, tonight after us, very, important discussion going to occur tonight. Something in, America that happens or depending, if you want to say America, however you want to say it. But tonight, the president will do a little bit of chattering, a little bit of talking.
State of the Union, my man.
I was going to put that out there as a trivia going, first person who calls and says,
I didn't raise my hand, chomping at the bit. I'm like, I know it. Ding, ding, ding.
There was a free Busted Pencils t-shirt attached to somebody who could call in and give
I'm going to throw some minor shade. I'm excited to see Hayden Biden because he's kind of absent on a lot of things lately. So it'd be good to see him come out and kind of update us. I'm always hopeful. Whoever, delivers this, I'm always hopeful because there's a lot going on in the world that our leaders could speak to, and it would be really helpful. So I will just tease that a little bit. We'll listen tonight. We'll probably break it down later this week a little bit. But that said, there we go.
That said, speaking of L.A., Los Angeles, L.A. Tom, he's on the line already. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, not the corporations. And I hope people wake up and get money out of politics and restore government back to we the people. Second, yes, I am the person that speaks about Finland quite well, positively, because of the fact that I did see Where to Invade Next and saw how their education went from being the lowest to being the highest in terms of what they did. And definitely hats off to them, and I hope that we can learn from them in that way. Third, I wanted to say, there's four letters that people really need to take into their heads, and that's CHTR or CHRT, which is C stands for child care, H stands for health care, T stands for taxes, and R stands for rent or mortgage. It costs in Wisconsin, it's $16,000 for each of those indices. Now you tell me, when you add those things up and you get $64,000 in a household of two, before you've even talked about food and clothing and college tuition or paying back a loan, I would like to ask any politician out there, how the hell do you expect anybody to make it? Because if it's $64,000 and the average person's making, $20 an hour, which probably isn't even $32,000 a year, how do we expect them to make it?
Yeah.
And I really think that, the CHTR is definitely an acronym that we could all go with. So when you're talking to your Republican friends or whoever it is, just say, hey, look, I'm not overinflating these numbers. These numbers are coming directly from just an average family in the state of Wisconsin with two children this is what you end up with. And how is that person supposed to make it?
I lost LA Tom there. Johnny, go for it.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, awesome call always from LA Tom. And what a preview, too, because we're actually going to bring up an important value today that LA Tom brings up every time. A little teaser on popular sovereignty, but love the reminder. Always, Tom. And especially, I mean, it brings up a really important thing. Cost of living and just in general. We talked about it a couple weeks ago when we talked about access to food, and we're always talking about an increasing amount of our students who are experiencing poverty. Listen to how I phrased that. People experiencing poverty. It's not poor people. It's not impoverished people. It's people experiencing poverty, and it's increasingly more and more people. And this is a failure of the government. And why is it a failure of the government? Because it's government for the people, by the people, with, you know, with importance on making sure that the folks in any community, but especially within their governance, are doing well. And a whole lot of people aren't doing well. No. And so it's something I think, you know, Tom shines a light on. It's an important thing, especially as we get into things like what's coming up on Thursday, State of the Union address, you know, what's coming up even sooner, all these primaries and then really important elections.
You know what? So in other words, you guys, yeah, big faux pas, Dr. Tim Slacker there, throwing out the State of the Union two and a half.
Confused Tuesday with Thursday. You just got ahead of yourself
Tuesday, this week. Well, you know, I've got all these notifications coming across the Google calendar, and I keep seeing from Civic Media, State of the Union, State of the Union, State of the Union, and it's just like, ah, my God. Okay.
Well, we're really excited because you can tune in here, right, 8 p.m., right, and get coverage of State of the Union, and it's really important. It's important for all of us. It's part of, I mean, L.A. Tom starts his calls. We love when you call, Tom, but L.A. Tom starts his calls with the important reminder of popular sovereignty. It's a government for the people, by the people. We the people are the government, and that is super important. So it's good to get this update and to be energized, and we can be hopeful, but be energized and then activated to engage in our democracy. And we're gonna tease that apart some more tonight, Tim, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to tease that out some more. And, you know, again, just put out there, too, State of the Union, Thursday, March 7th, 8 o'clock start. Yes. Stuart J. Waddle, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, and Maggie Don, host of the Maggie Don Show, which is on weekdays at 2 p.m. at 7 on Civic Media. They're going to be hosting the broadcast of President Biden's State of the Union. Tune in. I've got some extra WFHR, WALK, WRCE, WRJN.
We'll have the Badgers instead of the State of the Union. That's what those
letters are. Oh, is that okay? Is that why those are there? Thank
you. Heard your name on the roll call just now. You don't have State of the Union. You're going to have Badgers, but everybody else gets State of the Union.
There
yes,
is
sir.
The,
let's go.
Thank goodness we can bring all of this together in the chat room of the StreamYard hookup there. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, popular sovereignty, Johnny.
Oh, talking about that. Man. We're going to get into it.
That sounds like a trivia question. I can put that out there then right now. I mean, Johnny might have gave you a hint. Popular sovereignty. What is it that we're going to be talking about during the next segment? Well, if you call in first, free Busted Pencils t-shirt. When we get back, call us 844-967-2789.
You're listening to WRJN Racine, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Hello. Hey, can I have your attention for just a moment? If you're in Racine County, I'm talking to you. You know, we have elections in August and November. That's when we can decide to vote to keep lawmakers on the job or throw them out and try someone new. This recall business with Robin Voss, it's just plain dumb. It's a giant waste of more than $400,000 in taxpayer money. And we just have to turn around and have the regular elections in November anyway. Whatever you think of Robin Voss, just say no to the stupid recall. Don't sign a petition because you're sick of politics as usual. The stupid recall won't accomplish anything other than wasting taxpayer dollars. It's bad enough when politicians do that to us. We shouldn't do it to ourselves. Okay? All right, I'll let you get back to whatever you were doing. Paid for by Wisconsinites for Liberty Fund. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
But Busted Pencils, we do. We love to talk about it. Fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 844-967-2789. I was making a little, you know, seeing there if people, you know, on the live screen, whether it's YouTube, whether you're watching in Twitter, whether you're watching in Facebook, you see that new back screen there of the green board and all of the math problems there. John, one of my favorite math little problems there, you know, they put out, you know, common mistakes or really unique things kids do when they, you know, have to solve a math problem. I don't know if you ever saw the one where they've got the triangle and they've got it labeled, and then they've got an X there, and the problem says find Y, or find X, or find B, and the kid drew an arrow pointing right to the letter, going, it's right here.
There you go.
He found, you know, he found X, he found Y. How, right there, you know what? That's extra credit when you do something like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to be more specific, right? Find the value for or whatever. Yeah. You got to always watch out for those things, and good for those kids that point out the obvious on that.
Love that. Oh man. So Civic Media, Busted Pencils. We always talk about democracy, public education, and recognizing that, you know, public education is the foundation of democracy. Johnny, we're going to be having a great guest here coming up next week, right? You know, but we want to talk about this, though. Democracy, what does it mean? And you've been throwing this out there. We've been hearing about core democratic values. Core democratic values. So you mean the core things the Democratic Party likes is what we're talking about?
No, definitely not. Ideally, I wish, and I think in a perfect world, anybody in politics, and really, again, as L.A. Tom reminds us, and we're all remembering, all of us ought to be involved at this level, but it is thinking about democracy in terms of the noun democracy and the associated adjective democratic. Okay. And it's a little bit manipulative because the Democrats, although I often find myself aligning with their political agenda, okay, I'll be honest about that, but the Democratic Party really isn't necessarily, you know, I don't think it's always fair that they share that label. We can get into that a separate time, but we're not talking about Democrats tonight or the Democratic Party. We're talking about all of us because we're talking about democracy, a system of decision, of organizing decision-making, which essentially we could boil down to giving a core definition. Let's do a little democracy 101. That'll give us the adjective democratic. For something to be democratic, it generally has to have three important tenets. And this is thinking about a lot of different kinds of democracies. Like we live in the United States, right? It's in its best and a representative democracy where we elect folks who ideally represent the constituency and bring decision-making to centralized locations. Blah, blah. It's a representative democracy, but three tenets to be able to call something democratic or slap that adjective in front of it. The first, Tim.
All right, I'm ready.
In democratic decision-making or in a democracy, everybody has a voice and that voice is valued. That's the very first tenet. Everybody has a voice and that voice is valued. Sounds cool. The second, right, is everybody has a right and a responsibility to participate in the decision-making. So we have the first one. Everybody has a voice and that voice is valued. The second one, everybody has a right and responsibility to decision making. That means you can't really opt out or it's not democracy. Although we often know if the first tenet isn't offered to you enough or with frequency or ever, you tend to not go for the second where you participate. So these two things go really hand in hand. The third, which is really important, is that no decision is final and all decisions are made in the interest of the common good. So there's this ongoing thing. We have to disagree in order to get to an agreed common good. So everybody has a voice and it's valued. Everybody has a right and responsibility to participate. And then three, all decisions are made in the interest of the common good and they're not final. They're for now. So, Tim, these are three tenets that broad strokingly represent all kinds of forms of democracy. So if we're saying we live in a democracy, these are three things that organize, these are principles that organize our decision-making process in community. Now I'm going to give you a street level definition for democracy. Decisions being made by those people directly impacted by the decision being made. Decisions being made by those impacted by the decision at hand. So that's a very decentralized one sentence version of what democracy is. But in order for something to be democratic, those three principles we just laid out have to be there. Now that's
what are they? Wait, do one, two, and three again.
One. Everybody has a voice and that voice is valued.
Okay, voice.
Two. Everybody has a right and responsibility.
Right and responsibility. Number two.
In the decision-making process. Three. All decisions are made in the interest of the common good and are not final. They're for now. Until we know better. Because as we listen to more voices, as we understand the experiences more, we bring that best information together and sometimes we change the decisions. Right?
Hey. Check it out. We got Tom from Grafton on the line. Tom wants Let's to go, jump Tom. In here. What's happening, Tom?
Hi, guys. Well, I'm wondering why is it that there are people, at least in this state, in Wisconsin, where we've got, I don't know, maybe $4 billion in reserve, who don't want to touch that to help education at K-12, tech schools, colleges? Why don't they want to allow that money to be used to help everyone, you know, especially common people, to be a better trained workforce for these people with money?
Tom, I think you're asking a good question. It might be slightly rhetorical because we're going like, why not? It's a surplus. It's there. There's all this money, as you point out too. And you know what? For education. And Johnny, it sounds like even because for the common good, the education of all, the common, right? As to why, boy, we've done shows on sitting there, you know, that have talked about looking at, in fact, we're going to talk, Thursday, do a quick pitch. Carol Burris from the Network for Public Education is going to come in and talk about actually funding in schools and letter grades and talk about that. So, Tom, maybe hang on there because we can ask that very specifically. Johnny,
Tom's
go ahead.
Right. I mean, Tom's right. Like, come on, we often are like, we don't have money for this. We don't have money for this. Well, it's convenient. We have money for things. Mm-hmm. And we're clearly time and time again deciding not to put that investment into schools. And we'll come back to it often because school funding is really close to the root of so many problems in our schools, right? Absolutely. So if we really changed our priorities so I've heard this phrase and I like to come back to it, right? Commitment without currency is counterfeit. So Tom from Grafton reminds us, like, if we care about education, why aren't we using this surplus of money to make sure it's really good and invest in our state's future? Let's go.
Core democratic values, John. Oh, yeah. One, two, and three. In fact,
those are the principles.
Because then we got to come back to all of the values. You know what, though, too? If you call us back, 844-967-2789, first to call with those three principles. Boy, we're putting it out there. Busted Pencils t-shirt. It's all for you. It's going to be there. Give it away. 844-967-2789. Back in a minute.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The U.S. Supreme Court is dismissing two lawsuits trying to keep Donald Trump's name off presidential ballots in Wisconsin this year. The justices say only Congress can do that. The Wisconsin lawsuits were part of a nationwide effort to remove Trump from the ballots. They pointed to a provision in the U.S. Constitution banning anyone who's engaged in insurrection from holding federal office. March is National Reading Month. Libraries in Wisconsin are coming up with novel ways to get kids in their doors, including passports that let them check out and return materials in a wide area.
And then you get the kids into the libraries, you get them a book in their hand, and you say, here, you can take this, and then just return it to the next one you go at.
Blaze Burton works for the Mercer Library. He says incentives make reading feel less like a chore. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRJN News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A plea deal has been reached for a man charged in a Racine homicide that killed a 14-year-old 2 years ago. 29-year-old Krishan Clemens pled guilty to second-degree intentional homicide and possession of a firearm by a felon. In court today, a plea hearing was held, with prosecutors recommending at least 20 years in prison. Clemens was charged in connection with the death of 14-year-old Eugene Henderson. Clemens fired shots into a stolen car in which Henderson was a passenger. He'll be sentenced in May. A major Racine County road project starts next week. The Highway 20 work runs from Green Bay Road to 90th Street. It involves fixing two bridges and installing new traffic lights. Temporary closures are expected during construction, with both the Willow Road exit and entrance ramps slated for closure for the duration. Work is expected to be wrapped up by the fall. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WRJN News.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Waterworld, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. University of Wisconsin-Madison film studies professor and scholar David Bordwell passed away on February 29th at the age of 76 due to degenerative lung disease. According to Variety, UW described Bordwell as a prolific film researcher and passionate cinephile. Bordwell taught at the University of Wisconsin from 1973 until his retirement in 2004. The title of Taylor Swift's new album, Tortured Poets Department, is not random. According to a report in the New York Post, the 34-year-old Swift is a descendant of legendary and tortured poet Emily Dickinson. Dickinson was a 19th century poet who wrote over 1,800 poems. Taylor Swift has over 240 songs and dates a guy who can sing the Beastie Boys at a karaoke level just before closing time. Needless to say, Swift has a ways to go if she wants to catch up with Dickinson in regards to verse. She is, however, crushing her cousin when it comes to social media followers. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Tonight, we'll look for a mostly cloudy sky and a low to fall to the mid-30s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow and a little warmer. Our high temps jump up into the low 40s. On Thursday, partly sunny and a high in the mid-40s. Then by Thursday night, a chance of rain that carries over into Friday. It's 39 right now.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go.
This
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Seems every station on the TV is selling something no one can be.
Nah, that's not what we do here. We are always selling something you can be. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789. doing a little democracy 101, but we have got a caller, Jack. Jack's out there. Jack, what's happening?
Well, I missed a bit of your show because it apparently was on mute while I was being on hold, which is not a problem. But if you've gone over this before, my apologies. My opinion, there's two reasons the $2+ billion surplus is not being used for public education. Reason number one is the Republicans, and they keep trying and trying and trying again to give what they call tax cuts, but they're really tax cuts that are aimed at the very wealthy, or at least the very, very well off. Mm-hmm. And the second reason is that they've been trying to starve public education for decades. As Trump of the poorly educated, and the reason for that is that while an education is not a guarantee that you're able to think critically, it sure helps.
It does. Jack, you know what? And yeah, the reality here is we know why they're not funding. We know why that money's not going there. And you say, you know, and the public schools we've been starving them for years, decades, in fact. And so the reality of a surplus and then going like, why not now? Well, because there's no intentions there to fund the schools. In fact, let's starve them and make them struggle. But one of the things we know we can learn in school, though, when we get there, and as Jack said, you know, there's no guarantee, but there's a guarantee when you're listening to Busted Pencils, particularly on Tuesdays, because we're going to try to make this a regular Tuesday event, little civics on civic media with Busted Pencils. And Johnny, you were talking about three principles of democracy, and so
principles of decision making that constitute something as a democracy, right?
Okay.
So if you're going to say this is a democratic classroom or we're a democratic organization, well, then we pretty much have to center or be identified as holding, you know, ourselves accountable to those three principles, right?
Okay, let's go over them real quick again. Number one,
everybody has a voice, and
everybody has a voice
is valued. Okay.
Right. Number two,
everybody has a right and responsibility to participate, to be in the decision-making process.
And number three,
all decisions are made in the interest of the common good. All right. They're not final. They can be revisited as we learn new things, but we need to make them. They don't just go, we just don't debate forever and ever and not land on a decision. We have to make a decision, but in the interest of the common good, based on the best information that we can apply to that decision being made.
So those are the principles. Now, though, we're talking about.
That's way up here, though, right?
That's like the big stuff. Yeah, it's like you got the big democracy, big. Yeah. So you gave us political theory 101. It was really great. Let's start bringing it in, though, and saying, OK, give us some tangibilities here, Johnny, something that I remember from 7th grade, 11th grade. Give me a sense of going, oh, yeah, that stuff. What's that stuff that's missing from that political theory 101?
Well, Tim, when we go from that big theory, then we boil it down. I especially love working with teachers on this because social studies educators, which is all elementary school teachers in this country, right, under our Common Core standards, right, and at the state level in most states, although we're going to get into that because we have a guest coming on next week who's an expert on the threat of taking this away in states.
Right.
But we have these things called core democratic values, Tim. They're a list of things, and they help us to better understand here are the values we would hold at equal value, like the things, the values, the attributes that we would hold at equal value and apply towards decision making. Are you ready to hear them?
Okay, and these sound, when you're talking about, these are things that sound meaning, and it's a list of things that are meaningful is what you're saying. They mean something.
We can learn about them, and then we can get to the next step of where we can practice them through skills that we learn that are observable, measurable, like we can actually learn to be democratic citizens. So we got to know, what are we learning, though? We got to learn these values.
Yeah. So I got to know the values. We're out there. We want to know what the values are. Johnny Lupinacci, Take it away.
Well, the first three you're gonna really remember. Most okay. listeners are gonna know these because you probably had to memorize this first part. The first one, life. The second, liberty. The third, the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, nice. And pursuit of happiness. That's three different values.
Okay.
Then,
No. I just want to say, so those are three separate values, but we typically remember them though, kind of as a phrase, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But the reality is those are each individual values, the right, you know, as we say, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Yeah. Okay. Boom.
But here's the thing, Tim, because each one of those, I can't just value only that thing. Like if I just really hang on to liberty and the pursuit of happiness, like I got my freedom and I get to do what makes me happy. Hold on. Yeah. Yes, but not at the expense of the other values. Okay. So like I can't say, Tim, you disagree with me, so I can kill you. That's not valuing life.
Thank you.
Right. So we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those three, we often remember those, but these are not new. Actually, I was just teaching this the other day and someone said, well, aren't some of these like part of like new things that liberal folks introduced in this? No, actually, this goes way back. But life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness held at equal value with justice, equality, diversity, telling the truth, common good, popular sovereignty, and patriotism. Wait, all of these things. So the really cool thing about these values, Tim, is we can get into defining them and we could take them one by one in future shows and things. Because what's really important is I love the last definition. We've gotten into it on this show before. I love the value. I love the democratic value, popular sovereignty. L.A. Tom calls in every day and reminds us, you know, this is a government for the people, by the people. Right. We are the government. That is a definition of popular sovereignty, and that is in every way a core democratic value. Mm-hmm. But patriotism, Tim, I love because it says, I uphold and honor all of these values. Mm. So patriots out there, there's a lot of people I meet who identify as patriots or who say, I'm not patriotic. We have a big discussion because, man, if I didn't love this country, I will probably leave. Mm. Okay? But I am here, and I love this country, and I'm a patriot because I love all of these values, and I love practicing them and teaching them and helping us be our best selves by representing all of them. That means that I value equality. I value diversity. I think it's a government's responsibility to be truthful and for us to be truthful with one another and to rely on truthful information and to have those kinds of values. In a democracy, it's important. Right? The common good. I don't always get my way because I have a loud voice and I have a degree and I know what I'm talking about. I actually it has to be in the interest of common good. But I can't just throw money at getting my way.
Right? Yeah, wait, one, I can imagine that one though, too. Is it, even when you talked about that in the principles, right? That third principle, making sure that we're doing for the common good. Like, wait, you mean like if it's not good for me, that's not enough?
I'll take it even further, Tim. Like we model democracy based off of some indigenous models of decision making, right? We can credit the Iroquois with having early forms of democratic decision making that actually apply. What do they mean by this common good thing? Well, it was seven generations, right? And thinking about if this decision is to be made, how will it impact my children's children's children?
Right.
My great grandchildren's children, like that, let's thinking several generations out. Right. So these kinds of things, a common good. And how do we best understand common good? This is that plug for public education that our callers were talking about. I was saying, what's a problem? We're not spending money on making sure we have a quality education because while it's not a guarantee, it's a good investment, right? To hope that, and it's likely to be that if you go through a good quality public education, you understand the value in these things. You understand the complexity of that common good doesn't mean you get your way. It means we have to figure out what is based on scientific consensus, based on multiple perspectives, based on facts. Last night, our guest, Dr. Ethan Siegel said, guess what? There are facts. And we can maybe always sometimes learn new things that add to what we understand as fact. But when we have information that tells us, you know, X, Y, and Z are happening, and the best thing we could do is X, Y, and Z because experts tell us, right? And we do some fact checking. We say, well, let's not just listen to one expert. Let's get consensus on a majority of them. Okay, cool. Now we have the, we're more likely with a good public education where core democratic values are learned and practiced.
Mm.
And we're going to be good at that difficult kind of decision making. Man, democracy's tough. That's another thing I'm patriotic about, is that it is tough, resilient, strong citizens that make up a democracy, because they're good at complicated, messy decision making, and it ain't easy.
Man, that's it. You've laid it out there too, and it sounds so simple, but then the way we talk about this, though, the practice, the reality of just thinking about that, you know, that a decision I'm making in a democracy, one of the values has to be, is it for the common good? And I love the way you kind of put that, you know, illustration out there too, from some of the indigenous peoples, and the idea of generations. How will a decision we make today affect generations from now? Boy, that's a lot of common good there that's being thought about there, to remind people of that and going, you know, so man, like, that sometimes it's going to go against my nature to potentially for the common good, because something might be good for me, but it might not be good for all of you. And in that reality, I'm supposed to, as a citizen, a patriotic citizen, I need to figure out and go, wait a minute. If it's just good for me, this isn't what I have to look at. What's good for the common, for everyone, for all of us, making that decision. So core democratic values: life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, justice, common good, equality, truth, diversity, popular sovereignty, and then, boy, put it all together, and you are a patriot with patriotism. Although, Johnny, I'm confused, though, by one, because I kind of thought that we threw diversity out nowadays.
No, man, absolutely not. This is good that you bring this up, and you've heard me say Tim. I mean, there is a myth, and there's a little bit of a misconception, and it is true. It's often used in a way where it sort of obscures the fact that diversity is a condition of difference upon which everything exists. I'm gonna say that one more time. Diversity, as a condition of difference upon which everything exists. Nothing comes into existence outside of its relationship to other things. This is biodiversity, cultural diversity, linguistic diversity. We are human beings, but we're also warring bacteria colonies, all kinds of different cells, these all kinds of wild stuff happening that constitute us as human beings. So diversity is a condition that is out there. Democracy is a way of organizing decision-making that recognizes and values the importance of diversity. And bingo, it's not new. It's been in here since before even civil rights purported it as, hey, we're not paying attention to this value. We really got to think about this a little bit more. Justice, equality, and diversity are important. They're not new. The liberals didn't put it there. Right. It's part of core democratic values. Right. Although it resonates with a lot of the work we're talking about, it's not new. Right. And it doesn't only mean diverse cultures. It means all the diverse.
When you explain it that way, and you've done it in the past, I think there's a kind of aha. And I'm thinking my neighbor, when my neighbor hears you talk about diversity as this kind of thing that's out there that is shared, that is actually required in a sense.
I mean, you can't opt out of diversity. Yeah, you are a living example of it.
Yeah. And you know, and it's just like, yeah, and putting it out there. No, diversity is not something a bunch of woke liberals just threw in there. Diversity.
No, because conservatives know best. What's the strongest portfolio? A diverse portfolio.
Busted pencils, 844-967-2789. Call us with your values. But you can't say.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights.
Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
But we will always witness this here all the time. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Mm-hmm. Core Democratic values, Johnny Lupinacci, teaching, man, teaching tonight, bringing it home for all of us. Started off with big political theory, and there we go. Look at that, man. Caller Joanne. We love when Joanne calls. Joanne, what's happening?
Okay, I've got another one for you. Transparency. If we don't know what's happening in government, doesn't make any difference about democracy. We've got to know. And in this age of computers and expertise and maybe even the spying that gets done, the security issues, transparency can be a value that we really need to focus on.
Joanne, I couldn't agree with you more. And when I teach this, and I believe that the core democratic values point to this, this is how we discuss the importance of trust. How do we build trust, right? And what does it mean to be truthful as a government, but also in our organizations and with one another? And you nailed it because Joanne set it up. We'll come back to you because I think you might have more to say, but I couldn't love this better because transparency is a skill associated with these values. So what does it look like when you're being truthful and trustworthy, right? You're being transparent about things. You're being open about them. We don't make the decisions or make things happen behind closed doors. We don't spy on one another. We're more open about things. So that falls under the core democratic value of trust, and action looks like transparency.
Yes, indeed. And having open meetings, we can do a lot of things with open meetings today with Zoom and Skype and all these ways that we have of opening up those meetings to big audiences. We can get everybody involved in democracy, and that's probably where we should be aiming, having everybody having access to the information that governs our lives. Thanks a lot for an incredible discussion tonight.
Absolutely, Joanne, because Joanne just nailed it, right?
Yeah.
If we hold these values and we don't attempt to include everybody in the discussion, then it's not democratic.
It can't be democratic. Someone,
I hear this all the time. Someone says, well, Johnny, you can't get everybody. So remember, the definition is everybody impacted by the decision being made, right? So if you're directly impacted by the decision being made, you're a priority. So talking like, and so that's, and we have the technology, we have the capacity. At its finest, though, I'm a patriot. I love these values. I don't identify with a lot of other people who call themselves patriots, but some I do. But I'm saying by sharing these values and holding them at equal weight with one another, like I really think they make a difference, right? I will say I've seen this at work, and I don't want to glorify because it's not near any of us right now. Tim, you're probably the closest to it, but I think about like a New England town hall democracy. Mm-hmm. Right, where we have real political act in some small rural communities, this resonates with you. You're like, we go down to the town hall and we discuss what's going on, right? That is essentially the decisions being made by those directly impacted by the decision. And the more we centralize those decisions, the more, let's loop back to our callers earlier. They said, hey, why do we have this money we're not spending? We centralize the decision making. We haven't involved all the voices. We don't know like what people really need and value, and or we don't listen to it. And then we make the decision not in the interest of the common good, but the interest often in benefiting special interest groups or corporations.
What Joanne though said too is, let's take this seriously, because you point out, you know, the old New England town hall or in a rural place where people go and gather, but to realize that today the ability to have a virtual town hall to include many, the idea that, you know, I can't make it to that meeting, but man, I do have internet access. And if they would just open up a channel to allow all those other people, you say, like, there's a commitment then to including those that are affected by decisions, as you're putting out there, Johnny. And the reality here is that every effort we make towards including people in these decisions, they then have that ability. And you go back up to those three principles to be able to take that right and then have the responsibility to take action. So let's give people the tools so that they can exercise that responsibility to practice that right. Man,
well,
let's
learn to utilize it. This is where we come back to the importance of education and democratic public education, because this is stuff we have to learn to do. We could say it till we're blue in the face, Tim, and we're not the ones inventing this. Like, I'm just regurgitating information that I study and how to teach it. But the idea here is, like, this is not new. We're just not good at it because we didn't practice it. So when teachers are teaching it and we're practicing it from an early age, the complexity of consensus decision-making, democratic decision-making, the skills associated with practicing those values, what do they look like when we work together and we center justice, equality, diversity, truth, transparency, like Joanne said, right, common good, when we practice these things? Sometimes we make some mistakes about it when we're young, when we're in classrooms, we learn that it's not easy, but we practice it enough to, by golly, when we're grown, be good at it. So, like, we have to teach it, the strength of democracy. So looping back, Tim, and then I'll let you close this out because, man, I'm just a lot of hot air on this.
You're good. No, man, it's great.
The idea here is that it should, and you said it was a rhetorical question earlier, because we do often assume it is, and because we're so used to why aren't we investing our money in education, not our money, but this extra money, or why aren't our states doing more, both Democrat and Republicans? I'm holding the Democrats responsible too, because they haven't been champions of education for a while. But the idea here is that the reason is, when we don't provide a strong democratic public education, the citizenry doesn't understand, and we're not good at these things. We actually are kind of bad at them. And when we're bad at them, we opt out more than we participate. And it's easier to make centralized decisions in the interest of a few over the benefit of many. And so defunding schools makes it easier to run game on a country, and it's no bueno. Let's go.
No, man. There it is. And you put it out there just so, you know, as we're coming down here, you know, what a great, great topic. Core democratic values. Johnny, the idea of practicing, like you just said, and realizing that a public education is the place to have the practice here, to do this work, to be able to dig deep, right? Without the ability to practice. Boy, think about the threats to practicing. And in other words, so when we talk about the value of public education and being of the utmost importance to democracy, it is the place to practice. And then, Johnny, we got to think about all the other things, lots of shows, because there are so many threats then to that practice. What's going on in the curriculum? High stakes testing. What matters? All of those things can take again, you know, compete for the time. If we don't have the time though for democratic values, man, we're rocked. Busted Pencils. See y'all tomorrow night.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
People we meet, paths we take, and decisions we make are at the center of the heartfelt romantic comedy Now and Then, continuing its run this weekend at the Racine Theatre Guild.
It's 1981, and as Jamie is closing the bar, a desperate last-minute customer offers him and his girlfriend $2,000 to sit and have a drink with him. Who wouldn't take it? As they swap stories, the unbelievable truth about this man is slowly revealed. Call the box office, 633-4218, or racinetheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.